Hello, everyone. Hello.
Hello.
Should I speak lower?
Higher?
Okay. My name's Jordan Stennett. Hello. This is my first time doing youth, so I'm a little off the edge. But, my name's Jordan. This is my first time being a leader in youth, so it's really challenging, especially Cruiser. He's a challenging one. I guess I just want to share some background with you. I accepted Christ when I was 10, so it's been a long time since then. I won't say my age, because that's fine. But yeah, I accepted Christ when I was 10, and since then it's been a roller coaster ride. I'm sure many of you know what that's like. And some of my interests is long walks on the beach. No, that's not right, because I don't want to bore you. But some of my interests are what Luke was doing up here, drumming, right? Is that what it's called, drumming? Okay. I got other interests like Xbox, yeah. What's that disc that you throw around? Frisbee. No, I live in my apartment by myself. First off, I just want to start, why am I a Christian today? And, it's been a tough question for me, because I've had some roller coaster rides, sometimes with the seatbelt on, sometimes not. And I would have to say fulfillment. And there's lots of things in this world that pull us away. We like to find fulfillment in other things. Pastor Chris talked about it last week about treasure. What you hold on to, it's kind of like that, like what fulfills you, make you complete, whole. And I just want to start with the Adam and Eve story. Does any of you know the story? Good job. Any of you background people? Back? Levi, is that, you know? Okay. This is an interesting story for me, because it really, you think of Adam and Eve, like man and woman, and it's like they have a really relationship with God, and it's all perfect and everything. Like, what would a relationship with God be like when it's perfect? Like, whoa. And like something I found, like, perfect relationship. They had no sin. You know what sin is, right? What is sin? What is sin, Joanne?
Doing stuff wrong.
Doing stuff wrong?
Yeah.
Disobeying.
Drugs.
Drugs. Yeah, anyways. And I kind of thought about it, like, why were Adam and Eve created? And I kind of thought about it for a bit, and they were created to have relationship, like all of us. We were created to have relationship with God and with others, and to worship Him. And I was listening to a sermon about 2 weeks ago, Mark Driscoll. Anyone listen to Mark Driscoll? There you go. Good pass. And he kind of said, you know, when God created the world and everything in it and all of us, He wasn't bored. Like, God wasn't bored. He's like, He wasn't sitting around with the Holy Spirit and Jesus one day saying, you know, I'm bored. I'm going to create humans. Like, I don't think so. Like, God didn't need us anyways. He could do everything himself. Like, he's all powerful. He's eternal. Like, he doesn't need us. But he created us for a purpose. And that purpose is to, like, have fulfillment in him, completeness and wholeness. And like, what does this look like, living your life on purpose? And living your life on purpose, you know, it kind of has a little joke to it, too. Like, sometimes you say to your friends, like, I'm going to do that on purpose, or something like that. Like, and living your life on purpose, what God has designed you to be, is complete with him. And I just want to share some things in my life that that has caused me to think fulfillment in God and not being in God, not being complete. And Adam and Eve, what did they eat on a tree that their eyes were opened? Fruit. Like an orange or like spaghetti or what? Spaghetti? A pickle. No. No, Adam and Eve took fruit from a tree that they were told not to take because God said no. And they took it anyways because the serpent was there, right? And their eyes were opened and they were suddenly naked, like, just imagine yourself on a bus and all of a sudden you're naked. Like, how would you feel? So, yeah, like, if I was Adam, I would probably run for the hills. Hide under a bush or, I don't know, hide beside, like, a large elephant or something. But they felt ashamed and separated from God when they decided to eat the fruit and be naked. And God did something interesting. What exactly did he do to hide their shame? Sent them out of the garden. So he didn't want to look at them, like, he came to see what happened. But what did he do? He killed something. A mouse. He killed the feet. Snakes don't have feet. Never mind. Okay. He killed an animal and took its fur and put it over top of Adam and Eve, like, to clothe them up. Okay. And this separation from God, like, when they were shameful and after they took the fruit and they were naked, that's how sin started with them. And it comes through us. When we're born with the, Scientologists like to say, the evil implant. But you were born with a defect in your body, which was sin. So you're prone to sin throughout your life. And so I just want to talk to you about some things that that has caused me to be incomplete in God. And I just want to, first off, how many of you remember your childhood? Like, when you were a kid. You're still a child. Why are you here? Seven? Okay. Anyways, when you're a child, your parents probably gave you this Fisher-Price toy, right? With the shapes and stuff. Yeah. And like, say you have like a triangle shape, and when you're a little kid, you didn't really know any better, so you tried to shove the circle into the triangle, and it didn't work, right? You still do. Oh, great. Anyways, here's my picture here. You're the Fisher-Price toy, and that triangle shape, it doesn't have to be triangle, but that shape that you try to put the trapezoid in, that hole is that completeness that you lost from sin, that completeness. So you try, you know, sometimes you're distracted with the world and you're like, you know, I'm going to just shove sex into this hole, or I'm going to shove greed or relationships or alcohol to try to fulfill that hole with God. And enough with the circle. Okay, and you're trying to fill that hole with this shape that doesn't tend to fit, like this triangle hole. You try to put it with other stuff and it just doesn't fill. And it kind of causes you to look for other things in this world, like all the things I listed. Like maybe you run after boys or for girls to try to fill that hole, or maybe alcohol, like you get drunk, try to fill that hole, or maybe it's drugs or I'm not pointing to you specifically, but maybe it's that. No. Anyways, the thing in my life that I tend to turn to when I'm not getting enough of God is entertainment. And I know I said to you, I like Xbox. I do like Xbox. But sometimes it's the only thing I turn to when I'm feeling this emptiness inside. And other things too, like movies. Like sometimes I'll go on shopping binges and like buy like 10 DVDs. Like, why? Because I'm trying to fill that hole that I have inside me. Music too. In my teen years, I like basically collected CDs. So I have like 200 CDs. I don't use them, but I wanted to fill that hole. And Xbox too. Sometimes I spend way too much playing Xbox and wasting my life away. And so basically taking this entertainment is my sense of comfort. And, you know, this just doing it for so long, it just becomes an idol, like a god. And in the Ten Commandments, idolatry's in there. And you know, I've thought about this, you know, maybe I'm putting entertainment in front of God, and I have. Like, I admit, it's my God, it's my idol. And basically this filling of entertainment in my life has really led to lack of fulfillment and emptiness. And I'm sure most of you have had a point in your life where you feel empty inside and you feel incomplete and you just feel like, what's the purpose of life? Like, I know I said in the beginning that God created us to have a relationship with Him, and much of the time I think, you know, I don't need God. I don't need anyone. I just need myself. And that's a lie. And I do need God, because only the designer knows what he needs for his design, and we're his design. So being in this fulfillment of entertainment basically led to death in my life. I felt empty. I'm like, you know, what's my purpose? And I basically lost the purpose of life. And when emptiness really settles in, it's like, I can't feel anything anymore. I can't feel any emotion. It's like you're completely dead. And something I turned to help me to feel like I was still alive, still breathing, was mutilating myself, cutting myself. I needed to feel that pain to know I was still alive. And yeah, I am still alive. That's a good thing. But also too, like when cutting wasn't enough, I'm like, you know, there is no purpose for me. I'm worthless. There's no fulfillment left. So basically it led to me, you know, I'm not going to waste away anymore. I'm not going to feel empty. I'm just going to take my life. And yeah, it sucked. And you know, when you make that decision, you know, I'm going to take my life. You know, it might be some of your friends abandoning you. You know, like, that guy's crazy. I'm not going to hang around him. I'm leaving. Some of your friends will think, you know, I don't understand your pain. I don't know how to respond. See you later. And yeah, you'll lose a lot of friends, and I have lost friends. And I just want to read a passage here that really hit home with me about ending my life. It's in 2 Timothy 4:16-18. Okay, no, it's not 2 Timothy. Oh, I think it's 1. Nope, it's not 1 either. Great. Anyways, basically that verse was saying, when friends abandon you, when people abandon you because they think you're a nutcase or whatever the issue may be, God is always with you. God will never leave nor forsake you in any condition you're in. If you've lost all hope, God is still with you. And at times, yeah, I tried ending my life several times. You know, I still struggle with it. I still struggle with cutting myself. I still struggle with suicide. It's a never ending battle for me, it seems like, but I gotta remember that God will never leave me. He is the one that gives me hope. He is the one that gives me fulfillment. He's the one that completes me. Entertainment will never complete me. It will never fulfill me. Having lots of money will never do that either. Because Chris talked about last week about what your treasure is. And there's going to be a time where Jesus returns to this earth and claims what is his. And all this stuff that we have in our life, like cell phones, cars, all this stuff will wash away, because the eternal will be the only person left. Everything else will be wiped clean. And whatever your treasure may be, it's going to eventually wash itself away. I've learned this many times, and I'm still stubborn. I think we all are. I think there's something in our life that's holding us back. And I just want to close with four verses that basically say why I'm a Christian today. And it's such a joy serving the Lord in everything I do. And even when I have times of hopelessness and doubt and stuff like that, like, there's better days than this. There's God will always be there with me. He will never leave nor forsake me. And I just gotta keep my head up, you know? Sometimes You know, it's really hard keeping your head up when you're going through so much crap. And, you know, you just got to continue, keep on doing it. Like, you wake up every morning, it's like, whom do I serve? Like, do I serve God? Do I serve myself? Do I serve others? Well, yeah, when you serve God, you serve others too with that. And, you know, you just got to wake up every morning with your fresh slate and you're like, you know, I'm going to serve you, God, this morning. And, man, what a change that is. It's like it brings you so much wholeness and completeness. Anyways, I'm going to just read those four verses there. Isaiah 58:11. Hopefully this is the right one this time. All right. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. That, to me, it's like the Lord will guide you always and satisfy your needs. Like, you don't need to be turning to entertainment or money or to sex to find that completeness in yourself. You need to turn to God. Like, turn your cares, turn your anxiety, your fears, whatever you have, whatever issues, problems, God will take care of it. You just got to trust in Him. Next one, John 6:35. All right. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Never go hungry, never be thirsty? Yikes, that's amazing. It's like, if I go to God, for He knows everything about me. He created me. He knows all the hairs on my head. He knows what's going on in my mind every day. He knows how to drive a car better than I do, probably. I know that has nothing to do with it, but, you know, it's... we would never go hungry, never be thirsty. That's amazing if we just come to the Lord, surrender ourselves. Philippians 4:19. This is a good one. Okay. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. My God will meet all your needs. So, what are the three basic needs? What's one of them, John? Air, yeah. But more general. Food, yes. Shelter. Clothing, yes. Three basic needs. And whatever your other needs may be, maybe you need to get through a major exam. Maybe you have to drive in the city that you haven't ever drove in before. Maybe there could be other things, but whatever your needs are, go to God and He will help you. I just want to leave... the last one. This one is the real kicker here. I tried to find this the other day. I'm like, is it 4:16? And I looked in my Bible. I'm like, nope, that's not it. Same with this 2 Timothy. I thought of it, but that's not the right one. 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So that verse really hit home. He just notice his words here. I am the way, the truth, the life. He He didn't say, I am a way, a truth, a life. He's being really to the point here. Like, he's saying he is the way, meaning there is no other way. If I'm not here to pick on people of other faiths, but as much as I agree with the good things in other faiths, I do not believe that that is a way to God. I know there's a religion out there, if you heard of it, New Age, believes that all ways are to God. So it's basically saying Buddhists, Hindus, voodoos, whatever it may be, all those could lead to the same God, and that is a lie. And Jesus clearly says here, I'm the way. He is the only way. And he is the only truth. We may believe that, you know, I believe the Hindu God is the truth. You know, you might believe that, but Jesus is saying here, I am the truth. Everything in this book called the Bible is truth, 100%. You may not understand it at the time. I do not understand numbers. Maybe you've read numbers. It's really confusing, all these names and stuff. It's like, what does that have to do with God? But it does. Maybe one day I'll understand it. But he is the truth, and there's nothing else in this world that will bring that. And his last point, I'm the life. Everything that I have said, I believe that God wanted me to share. And maybe it wasn't the best approach, I don't know, but he wanted me to say something today, and maybe, like, I believe that he wanted to talk to someone today. And through my many trials of turning to entertainment for my sense of comfort and fulfillment, you know, that really isn't a life. It's just death. It makes you feel so numb once you just turn to it. Say you had a bad day at work, or you had a fight with a friend or whatever. It's like, you know, I'm going to turn and entertain myself and play shoot 'em up games and try to, you know, fulfill that that longing, that completeness. And Jesus is saying here, you know, I am the life. Like, he who comes to me and, like, is fulfilling his purpose, his design, I will bring him life. And that's so awesome, because, like, Jesus gives us so much. He gives himself on the cross. I watched half of the Passion on Sunday morning. You know, I need to see what this Jesus was going through. And much of the time, you know, I'm so stubborn, so selfish, I turn to other things to try to fulfill me, and I just needed to see what Jesus went through to take that away and say, you know, I am the life, come to me. And yeah. Anyways, I hope I didn't bore you, but yeah, that's all I have. But also, like, you know, if you're struggling with stuff like this, like, it doesn't have to be entertainment, like, it'd be other things. Talk to your leaders, like, talk with your friends, like we'll lend an ear to you if you need to. Like, also, like, go to God. Like, if you're struggling with, like, cutting yourself or suicide, like, go to God. Like, He'll take away that pain that you have inside you. Like, He, time after time, I went to Him, like, you know, God, I can't do this another day. And He has taken that pain, and He will continue to take that pain as long as I am willing to surrender to Him. And yeah, that's all I have. If you want to talk with me about things, it doesn't have to be anything related to this talk, but if you feel the need to come and talk to me, I'll be willing. Yeah, that's it.